Master Gardener's office is somebody calls and says, you know, I've got a landscape, and let's see, I'm in zone 7, and it's really, you know, kind of a full sun site, and the soil type is pretty clay there. But, you know, I really, really like, let's see, trees. I want a tree. Let's see. And I would really like to have orange flowers on this tree. So we're getting really specific here. Now, also, you know, I want it to be pretty high resistant to pests. I'm trying to plant a landscape where I don't have to put any insecticides. And I thought it was interesting to see that the master gardeners are not wanting to use insecticides. Mike Rapp was saying they don't even want to know about, you know, how to use those things. They want to do stuff so you could put in, you know, your resistance level. Oops, and I lost my search. All right. So then I do my search, and it came up with nothing in this particular instance of searching. Was that lovely or what? Okay, white flowers. All right, white flowers. We'll do that. I don't want it to have orange flowers. How about that? We'll see what we come up with or not. Anyway, you can search it on that. So, I didn't import my project. That's why. I had about 500 plants that I imported in here to do searches on, but I didn't do that on this particular project. Anyway, I'll go through how to... You can technically do that search if you have all of your plant records in there, which are quite easy to import. But, for example, this is just a sample list of plants. The original version will have, you know, 2,000-plus plants in there. You can take your plant for editing and put in your botanical name, synonym names, edit all of the zone information, type habitat, you know, plant features, all of the different horticultural characteristics, and it will come with a baseline of that. What is particularly, what we had them add was this general pest and disease resistance level. It's kind of based on an overall resistance. List the type of pest that can get on it. And then what we didn't request, but actually they were really enthusiastic about, is you can put in what kinds of pests get on it, and you can use these IPM instructions. So say in January I want to go through and use a non-toxic oil spray. They put their own fields in there, DDT big time. It's one of their and then I can save that, and when you'll see I'll run a report and show you what to do on that. Okay, so that's my plant list. So I want to go to a project. Oh, whoops. And I'm looking at my projects, and I want to do some reports. And this is where I think it's going to be useful for master gardeners, is you can put in, say, pest and disease information and print out reports of what pests actually get on specific plants, along with the notes of how to manage that as well. So it'll give you a full listing of plants along with the pests and host information. And as you can see, there's a bunch of different reports. You can even go through and do month of bloom and that type of thing on the reports. So if you want to get really horticultural on this. And I'm going to, if anybody wants to see a further demonstration, I have my laptop with me, and I'll be glad to show it to you. So let me just wrap up real quick. Oops. All right. So essentially what I envision Master Gardeners using this is, you know, creating these customized plant lists for folks, preparing presentations, lots of photos, really easily put these things together, and guiding them to nurseries. I didn't get to show you, but you can actually list nurseries that carry these specific plants, what sizes, what prices, and everything, if the nurseries are interested in doing that. You can also gather local information if you have local conditions that are unique to your situation. It can be reflected in here and can be searched in that way. You can also email these plant lists quite easily. You can see specialists and researchers using these to kind of systematically gather information, easier prepared development, exchange plant information in a very systematic way. Insulation maintenance guides, knowing where to get the stuff, knowing what to ask for. Nurseries and growers can actually use this as a management tool. If they have all of their plants listed, they could print up calendars of what to look for at certain times of the year. So basically the whole concept is just exchange of this plant and pest information in a real-time situation with pictures and horticultural characteristics, so that we get those landscape architects and designers in there as well, and it just kind of facilitating that. So I appreciate the time, apologize for going over, and I'll be glad to talk to anybody about the software. It's something I'm really enthusiastic about, and it's got some great features. We should be releasing it in January to all of our extension specialists in the states that are cooperating. I'll also be glad to share it with somebody else who is interested in trying to test it out on their own and add their own information. If you just contact me, my email address is in the book. I would love to talk to you about it because I'm just very enthusiastic about the possibilities of it. So I appreciate your time and thank you very much.
Produced by a actinomycete, Sacropolyspora spinosa, the very first spinosins, and they are group 5 insecticides. The very first spinosin was spinosid, and these are the actives, the formulation, Spintor, Tracer, GF120, and Trust. And now the second active in this group, group 5 insecticide, is Spinetoram, and our two formulations are Radiant and Delegate for this particular active. As far as Spinetoram is made up of two macrocyclic lactones, this major group, J and L. And what we've done with these two is, first thing we've done is we noticed if we chemically modified those and added an ethoxy group onto the rhamnose sugar, and that being right here, we had better insecticidal activity. And then if we did one more modification on the J component, and that making a double bond to a single bond, we basically improve the photostability and residual control of the actives. And so that is Spinetoram. We did receive U.S. registration for Spinetoram in September, and it was registered as a reduced risk pesticide. And Delegate itself that I'm going to be talking about is a 25% wettable or water dispersible granule. Spinetoram has low toxicity to mammals, no evidence of mutagenicity, teratogenicity, or oncogenicity, has low toxicity to birds and fish, and it's rapidly biodegraded in the soil and natural surface waters, and it's practically non-toxic to pollinators at 3 hours after application. My talk today, I'm going to be talking to you about as far as its control of internal worms, being collie moth and oriole fruit moth in apples. And so the key question here is, when compared to other commercial standards, does Delegate WG provide comparable control of internal worms, being collie moth and oriole fruit moth in apples? Really simple. In almost all the studies, the data that I'm going to be showing you as far as harvest evaluations is basically that total damage. And so this is a damage which is just a sting when the animal did not survive, but it still stung the apple. And then here's where it stung the apple, got into the apple, and there was actually an entry in the apple, but I'm looking at total damage. Here is the label as it exists today for eastern tree fruits. I'm going to be focusing on collie moth and oriental fruit moth control and basically looking at rates at 4.5 and 6 ounces. As far as all the data slides are pretty much going to look the same. I'm looking at internal worm damage. On the x-axis is going to be the treatments, and on the y-axis you have percent damage by internal worms. Here is the data, and I'm also going to then be showing you the mean comparisons test as well. Here at Delegate at 4.5 and 6 ounces, you can see looking very good compared to your untreated, where there was about 38% damage from internal worms. And in the east, it's internal worms because it's both collie moth and oriental fruit moth. That was John Wise at Michigan State. Here we have at Virginia Tech with Chris Berg. In the untreated, about 35% damage from internal worms. Delegate at 4.5 ounces and six. It's 6 ounces basically zeroing it out. There was no damage at all from internal worms. And then compared to glutathione, AltaCor, and Belt. Here at West Virginia this year in 2007, Henry Hogmeyer, untreated about 34% damage. Delegate at 4.5 and 6 ounces, looking very good. The program, these applications, in almost all these cases up until now, these are all single trees, applied with air blast sprayers. Generally, the applications are about 2 weeks apart, 14 days, and when it gets around to the collie moth or oriental fruit moth timing, then they actually then will might move that schedule a little bit to time it for those particular pests. In this case, the program basically is not unlike a grower type program. It was a combination of a sale, imidan, intrepid, and Ryman applied at appropriate times. In this study at 2006 with Larry Hull, this is an orchard where this is actually an orchard of where the blocks are 12 to 14 trees per rep. And in this case, in this particular orchard, it's heavy as far as tufted up a bud moth pressure and oblique bend a leaf roller, and you can see that here. There were only 4 applications made in this orchard, and they were made specifically for the leaf rollers. So 2 applications for each generation of tufted apple bud moth. Delegate at 4.5 ounces. The Ryman applications preceded the Delegate applications a little bit because of timing for Ryman. So very good control of oblique bend a leaf roller. And in the same orchard, there was also in internal worms. Remember, these applications were timed for obliques and tufted, not for internal worms. But you can see the control is very good. A little less pressure, about 10% damage in the untreated Delegate at 4.5 ounces, looking very good. Moving out to the West Coast, Pacific Northwest, here is a label. It's going to be focusing on pretty much a 6.5 ounce rate, looking at collie moth. In this first data slide here, what this is a summary of 4 trials. Here is the damage. You can see there's pretty heavy pressure of collie moth. A little over 55% damage in the untreated as far as in the 4 trials. Delegate at 6.5 ounces, looking very good compared to a sale, and glutathione at 2 pounds. Again, in these trials, 6 applications, 14 days apart. Glutathione, it was only 4 applications, and it was applied 21 days apart. Another trial in Yakima. Again, the untreated up to about 50% damage, the untreated. Delegate at 6.4 ounces, looking very good compared to these other products. These are single tree trials. One more as far as in Yakima. Here, Delegate at 6.4 ounces. A little less pressure here, about 18% damage, but Delegate basically zeroed out. There was no damage at all. Lastly, we had an opportunity to do some demonstration trials in a few locations. The first location was maybe an unfortunate situation for them. It was the Easter freeze that occurred down in the Carolinas, and so there were a lot of their orchards basically didn't get anything from them. So we went in there and had some Delegate treatments in some large areas. The treatments were the untreated. We had a standard. We had a Calypso applied to first generation, 3 sprays, then a sale the second generation, and then Delegate 3 applications for each generation. Understand that we would not do that, obviously, for resistance management with the actual true label, but this was crop destruct in that particular case because there wasn't much of a crop. Here's an aerial view of the trial. This area here is the untreated, this large area. Untreated had 61% damage. Standard treatment of the Calypso and Asale was 11.6% damage. And finally, the Delegate, which is immediately adjacent to the untreated area, was only 1.6%. And in actually sampling the trees that were immediately adjacent to the untreated, even these trees here were really not any different than as far as the amount of damage that was there versus trees that were further away from the untreated. Another study, as far as a large block study, it was done up in Washington State. In this particular case, Red Delicious apples, non-replicated as in the previous study. Each plot was 0.4 acres per plot. Grower applied air blast sprayer, 3 applications per generation. And this is the sequence as far as the plots. It was untreated, next to the delegate, and that was and next to that was a sail and Calypso, just like in a long line. Here is the data as far as for first generation control. You can see there's a lot of damage here from Kali Moth, about 75% damage in the untreated. Here's delegate at 6.4 ounces of sail and Calypso. This is first generation. Second generation, looking at the damage. Remember now, this is, in both cases, it's total fruit damage, it's total fruit damage, so it's stings and entries. Now, in the second generation, was based basically at harvest. We can kind of dissect this a little bit in that of the stings, this is just stings for that same data. This is just stings, so you can see that delegate has a little bit higher number than a sail and Calypso, but you can see it has a very few of those stings actually translated into entries, whereas with the sail and Calypso, you actually then had, you have more entries, and then finally, you have actually exits where the animals have survived, they've pupated, and whereas with the delegate, there wasn't any in that particular case. So to kind of walk you through that again, this was that entire data set, this is the total, and then going back and looking at it, dissecting as far as the sting. So essentially what's happening here, the animals, yes, they did sting the fruit as far as the Kali Moth, as far as the actual larvae itself, they actually stung the fruit, they actually got in a little bit, but then that was pretty much it. They pretty much died at that point in time, and so essentially you had very few that actually truly entered, and you didn't have any that in this particular case with this high infestation level that actually exited. So with that, basically, delegate has demonstrated excellent activity against internal worms, being Kali Moth and Oriental Fruit Moth on the East Coast, 4.5 to 6 ounces, and on the West Coast, as far as on Kali Moth, at 6.4 ounces or 6.5 ounces. Growers will have a new and an excellent tool as far as a novel mode of action for managing internal worms in apple orchards. And with that, I'd like to acknowledge, certainly, these are just some of the list of people that are involved in a number of these studies. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Brian, Dean. Labeling calendar, or is this what you have intended? I mean, I think you address apple, peaches,
as far as all the as far as the crops that it's labeled on.
Yeah.
The list is long. As far as what we have labels on it, it's palm fruit, stone fruits. Delegate is primarily is labeled for basically most of the perennial crops, and radiant is for vegetable crops, and basically it's crop groupings. Everything that you have seen as far as spinosad label, basically we have all of those crops that were labeled for spinosad are labeled now for spinetoram. What we have, everything's labeled. As of September 28th, everything is labeled. Questions?
Do those stings constitute marketable fruit?
Probably not. The question was, did the stings, would they constitute marketable fruit? This is probably more of a problem in the Pacific Northwest, where because of all the sun, et cetera, then they end up, no, they wouldn't be marketable fruit.
And what was the time between your goals and your application, particularly in the
It's 14 days. 14 days. PHI, I can answer that one, it's easier. PHI on apples is, palm fruits is 7 days. Water solubility, I think it's fairly similar. We got enough experts, they're answering. It's about similar to spinosa. Okay. I think that's it. Thank you.
I'm going to be presenting today on how to engage master gardeners in first detectors for exotic pest issues in your state. And I am with the Southern Plant Diagnostic Network, which is coordinated through the University of Florida. I'm going to give you some information specifically about our National Plant Diagnostic Network First Detector Program, and then I'm going to give you some information about other exotic pest detection strategies that other people have provided me, kindly provided me their information.